Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, mediumship and spirituality with a Boston attitude. Information presented here is inspired by spirit and brought to you by Spirit Messenger, Reverend Nicole D'Andrea. Thank you for joining us today, and we hope you'll enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Reverend Nicole D'Andrea. Thank you for joining me tonight. You're listening to Confessions of a Spirit Messenger, Mediumship and Spirituality with a Boston Attitude. I just want to say happy Tuesday. I'm happy because I get to watch Sons of Anarchy tonight and American Horror Story tomorrow. Those are my favorite shows, until Game of Thrones comes on. But, you know, that's what I look forward to in my old age. So tonight's show, the schedule, well, the agenda that I had for tonight is just talk a little bit about things that have happened in my life that have been enhanced by my intuitive ability and by fostering the communication that I have with my spirit guides and my people in spirit. So I thought I would begin with kind of a personal anecdote. And also, if you're in the chat room and you are signed in, you should be able to ask questions. So feel free to ask a question in the chat room. I'm not sure if I'm going to take calls. Probably not. Doesn't ever seem to work out for me. So just ask your questions in there. That'll be great. Anyway, so as I mentioned in the last show, I really wanted to start getting out there and, you know, actually doing some minister work, you know, not just being able to marry people, but to do blessings and also to do spiritual advising, pastoral care, that sort of thing. You know, I want to be a resource for people because, generally speaking, in my experience, I have not been able to find people like me when I wanted that. And frankly, if I was laying in a bed and I was about to undergo surgery and they said to me, hey, would you like, you know, you're open to pastoral care, would you like someone to sit with you or pray with you? Well, yeah, the answer might be yes, but I'm definitely not going to want one of these dried up old people that they usually have. And no offense to anyone if this is what you do and you're an older person, but there are people out there who need access to someone who is more of an open spirituality, not necessarily hard wired for one specific religion. And my church is an earth-based religious church. There are plenty of different variations on earth-based religions. They're not all the same. They're not all we all come from the goddess, you know. There's a good sampling of people who are just down to earth, don't really preach at you. They'll just be warm and they'll be welcoming. And that's what you need. And especially if you're going to be in a situation, you know, where you need someone to just kind of either sit and listen to you, you know, and not talk at you. It might be really helpful to have someone like me around. So keep that in mind. Anyhow, I will tell you one story. I'll tell you a couple stories, actually. Two things. So, you know, if you're like me and you're just a human and your spirit and a human body on and you're wandering around trying to figure out what to do with your life, you question things. So my parents were still in their house not too long ago. And they had a few different people that came in, kind of just jerked them around a little bit, you know, like weren't really serious, were just trying to talk them down. And, you know, they just weren't getting what they wanted, you know, in terms of the amount of foot traffic and the kind of offers. So, you know, my mom was like, you know, we're not getting any stuff. And I said, look, if you're open to it, I will do a blessing on the house, but I'm going to use incense. I don't know if you like the smell. And, you know, I have various tools that I use, you know, a candle, I have a bell that I like to use, which I can't find tonight, and it's driving me out of my mind. It's here somewhere. That's what I get for trying to be organized. And I told her, I said, I will do this, you know, and see, it can't hurt you. Now, my parents they're not religious. My dad might be a little more religious. My mom's more open, but, you know, they're Catholic. And I always try to make sure that if I'm going to do something for someone, I offer my services. I never push them, number one. And number two, I will never try to make you conform to something that I believe or that I think should be done over what it is that you want done. So I always check in with that. I make sure that I do that. It's really important to me. My spiritual work does not actually work unless I'm in that kind of an open mode. As soon as I get into ego mode, my flow really stops anyway. So it's in everyone's best interest. So I did what I did. I found a shop not too far away that had some incense, and it's kind of funny because I was just out before this, and I thought, oh, you know, I want to buy this because I'm here, and there's not a lot of places where I live now where I can get this stuff, and I had it with me when I got to the house, and I was able to do this nice house blessing, and basically, I went to all of the rooms of the house, and I offered up a blessing to the house. I wafted the smoke into every corner of every room, and the house felt lighter. There is such thing as spirit of place, and energy does collect in certain places. And if you're in a house that's like, I don't know, if it's not that it has to be cluttered, but there's a lot of little nooks and stuff like that. There are places where energy can gather, and you want to always just be conscious that you're clearing energy out. It's kind of like not taking out the trash, like eventually it's going to stink. Anyway, in my head, I saw July. So I took that to mean that by July, they would either have their offer or be out of there. And it took a week, and somebody made them an offer that they accepted. So, you know, there's something to be said for having someone around who maybe can help you with these things. And it's funny, I've read something recently. I can't remember where, you know, because I'm all over the web looking for stuff, looking things up. And I read something where this woman, she wanted to do a house blessing, but she was afraid that if anyone found out, they would think she was a little wacky. So she took the day off of work. Well, I don't know if she called in sick or what. And she hired this lady to come and bless her house. So the woman shows up, you know, and she's kind of nervous, but she's going all over the place, and she asks her, I want to go up in the attic. Is it okay if I go up in the attic? So the woman said, sure. She opened it up for her, let her go upstairs, and the woman ended up falling through the ceiling of the house, and they had to call 911, and to make a long story short, everyone found out about it. Everyone. Her job ended up being in jeopardy because of that. It was, the headline said, exorcism goes wrong. This is the problem that I have with mainstream media. You know, like in order for them to get ratings, they have to position something a certain way. And that's not always the right way. So just think about that. She tried to hide it. She tried to kind of, oh, I don't want anyone to think I'm crazy. And the whole thing got totally blown out of proportion. All she wanted to do was have her house blessed, you know. Poor lady. But, you know, maybe that happened for a reason. She probably wasn't in the right job or needed to clear something out in her own energy field that for some reason was holding her back, and this was the catalyst. You never know. You don't know until you accept something and you move on, and it's only after the fact that you actually realize what something did in your life, meant to you, or allowed for something else to come in. Living an intuitive life adds a dimension that I would never want to give up, you know, to have just my limited mental capacities here, and yes, they are limited, would be not a whole experience for me. I check in with my intuition and with my spirit people quite often. So integrating it into your life is something that I am a big believer in. I try to encourage people, you know, don't just take your yoga mat out once a week and then put it back on the shelf and not think about it until class comes again. You know, it's something that you have to foster on a daily basis. Even if it's a simple ritual, like before you know, shut your alarm off and before you get out of bed, you say a prayer asking for the day to be, you know, filled with blessings, filled with abundance, for everything to go really smoothly, for your angels to be surrounding you, whatever it is that you want, whatever kind of energy that you're hoping the day will bring for you, you can ask for it at that point. Your head's clear when you first wake up, unless you're like me and you're dreaming and stuff is swirling around. But yeah, I mean, that's really something that I I ask people to please try to do, because that's going to at least start the day off where you have a practice every day. There's a routine built into it. For me, a large part of my daily routine is actually blessing my home with Reiki. There's more than one way to do it. You can bless your house in a lot of ways. You know, if you are more of a Christian faith, if you kind of on the edge of the earth-based stuff and you're interested in it and you enjoy it, but you're more grounded in the Catholic kind of tradition or a Christian tradition, there's nothing wrong with saying those prayers. God doesn't care how you pray. He only cares that you pray. That's it. Done. I don't care what you say. Just say something. So I use the symbols and I actually bless the house, four corners of the house. Before I go to sleep at night, this is not something I've been doing lately because I don't feel the same kind of weird energy that I did in Texas. But when I was down there, I had so many experiences. I swear the place I lived in was a vortex. I used to station an angel in every corner of the house and ask that, light from them fill the whole space and prevent anything negative or harmful from disturbing any of us or, you know, entering my dreams or even my energy field in any way. And that is actually the only way that I was able to sleep. The nights that I was too tired and I just dragged myself to bed didn't do it. Other nights when I ended up getting woken up in the middle of the night with weirdness. You just, when you're open, once you commit to this and you say, this is how I want to live my life, I don't want to ignore this part of me, it's there. You have to be open and welcoming to the things that are going to come up. So, you know, at one point, this is just more stuff, more background and stuff with how your life changes and the things that happen in your life when you're using your intuition daily. There was one night when I woke up and somebody was there. And this was sort of like one of those nights when it was a visitor. It wasn't just like a random presence or an energy. This was a person who had departed. And I couldn't allow it in the bedroom because once I start to let my bedroom be conditioned for spirit communication, I will never sleep. So I tried to condition another space for that. But a couple of days before that, I was working and one of my coworkers talked about how she was going to go see her father. He hadn't been feeling well. His health was declining. And the family was kind of just waiting for that moment. It was very close. I asked her, I said, oh, are you working this weekend? And she said, no, I'm going to go see my dad on Sunday. And as soon as she said that, in the back of my head, I could hear, you know, there's a reason for that. And I thought, ah, okay. You know, she's meant to go there. There's something she has to do or see that day. I didn't think about this. This was like the Sunday night or the Monday night when I got this little visitor and I shooed this poor man away. And the next day I found out that her dad had passed and I thought, oh my God, that was him, because I had worked on him before. He was actually a massage client. He was a larger man in stature. And this energy that I saw would have probably been about the way he would look, like his outline, because that's the way that I see spirit people. And I was like, oh no, I shooed him away. I'm so sorry. So I did approach her because she kind of knew what I did. And I said, you know, I don't want to scare you, and I hope you don't take offense, because she was one of those, you know, more on the Christian side. I said, but your dad needs you to know he's okay. You know, she appreciated it, but I didn't push any further. Like, that was really all he wanted her to know. Hey, I made it. Hey, I'm okay. Look at me. And, you know, it's such a magical experience when you're able to have that kind of confirmation that the person is still there and they made it. They're okay. One of the strangest but most wonderful comments I've ever had is when I had a reading with my mentor. We're asking about my grandfather on my dad's side. And she said, when he got there, he was surprised he was still there. And I thought, what a concept. Imagine being in that position where you're about to cross over. And even though you've been religious your whole life, you've prayed, you've gone to church, you did all your sacraments, you thought, what if this is it and I'm just going to be gone after this and I don't go anywhere? And boom, all of a sudden, like, look around, hey, I'm still here. That is a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing to think about. But I love that. That's one of the most awesome messages I've ever gotten. My teacher, she's such a great person. She's so warm. She's so kind. And I'm always grateful to be able to have a session with her, because when you get yourself in a position where you're a little crazy yourself, you know, you're either worrying too much or things are just out of control in your life, you know, you're not paying attention to the right things anymore, you're not grounding yourself, it's really important to have another spiritual person to go to so that you can actually get messages that are trying to get through to you, that for whatever reason your emotions are blocking or your worry is blocking your thought patterns. There's a lot of things that you can do that will actually block communication from spirit. The other thing is, this is just something recently that I have found. I listen to a lot of podcasts. You know, I'm kind of a big Hay House fan. I like all of their authors, or most of them. Not to say I subscribe to all of their belief systems, but I find them interesting. And Doreen Virtue is actually one of them. She is the big angel lady. I mean, anything you want to know about angels, she is the one to look up. She's the foremost authority on that. She mentions that eating too much chocolate is actually the worst thing you can do to block your angels. Just the communication, something about the chemistry that goes on in your body when you take in sugar, but especially chocolate, will actually block spirit communication. Funny thing about that, when I was younger and I didn't quite understand what being open to spirit was, I noticed that when I was most nervous, or I felt, I don't know, not grounded, I don't know how to put it, not floaty or flighty, I knew something was happening and I was more aware of things, I actually used to do the same thing. I would eat something heavy, like carbohydrate heavy, pasta or bagels or something, and it would calm me down. It would stop. And so when I found Doreen Virtue in my travels, and she started to talk about food and what food does, in, you know, to your equipment, which is, you know, your body is your equipment, it just kind of clicked. And I thought, I may not know exactly what happened, because at the time I wasn't sure about what was coming through, but I do know that I was scared and concerned and anxious enough that I decided to block it with food. You can block it with other things too. You can block it with alcohol. You can block it with any other kind of addiction. You know, anything can be an addiction if you're doing it to avoid something else. Even a healthy behavior can be an addiction being used for. So there you go. And actually, Lori Bruno, who is the head of my church, Our Lord and Lady of the Trinacrian Rose, she mentioned once to me that it is better for people like us to take in less meat, eat more vegetables, stuff that has, you know, that sunlight has been able to kind of be grabbed up by, so that we can take it into our bodies. Plants are the way we take sun into our bodies. We can do it with our skin. It makes vitamin D, but it's not quite the same thing. You know, it's like taking the light and bringing it into your body, which is actually a really interesting thing when you think about it in that way, and not just as, you know, a random salad that I had for dinner because I was trying to be good. Thinking about food in a way that actually is medicine for yourself, but also will enhance the processes in your body, your mind, your emotions, how that food affects it, and how you can actually enhance your abilities by cutting out certain things. You know, fasting is one of those things that generations of people have been doing, you know, for forever. Before any kind of ritual, of course, in the craft, it's traditional to go through a purification, and abstaining from food is one of those things. Abstaining from meat is really another one that I've heard a lot of people do, like before they're going to be meditating or performing a ritual, going to a gathering. So it's not just about this airy-fairy part of yourself that you can't put your finger on. It actually is your body. Your body does have some connection to how your spirit stuff works. And I just want to take a look in the chat room real quick because I see a bunch of people popping in. I just want to say hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. And I see Allison is in there, beautiful lady. And Tosh Fabulous. Oh, that's a nice name. So hi, and if anyone has questions or they want to talk about an experience, let me know. Let's see. So back to the angel stuff. The other thing that's come to my attention recently, I decided to buy a book that actually my teacher wrote and co-wrote with a person who was an Episcopalian priest who wanted to tell her story and talk about her experience with spirit using my, you know, Jackie as kind of the catalyst for how she was able to open up and change. And then this whole process, Jackie's telling her story. One of the things that she talks about that's super important, especially now where it's October and it's the cool thing to go and get readings, there's more than one way that people get their information, multiple ways. The most common way that people might know is the psychic way, which is where you actually enter a person's energy field and you are picking up and interpreting the information that's stored in that energy field. That's not how I work. It's never worked for me. The other way is, which is the way I basically try most of the time that I connect, is literally just direct connect with spirit. I open up. I don't know exactly how to explain how I know. It's just through practice that I've reached that level and I'm talking to my spirit guides and my people and they're there. That's a different way to get information. I can get information from them that I can't pick up because I just don't have that talent. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I'm too much in my ego, or I'm just really used to listening to spirit because I have been since I was young. I can remember being really young and just asking a question and having the answer be there and not really knowing how, but just, hey, that's pretty cool. And, you know, that's kind of how I work. If you're familiar with the New England Ghost Project and you're up on the North Shore in Massachusetts, they do have a weekly study group, and you can get that on meetup.com or you can go to circlesofwisdom.com. Both of those websites will be able to supply you with the information. But what they do is, the New England Ghost Project has been around for a while. You know, I want to say at least the last 10 years of my life, I've been aware of them. And they do local investigations, but they do them without any kind of expectation for what the result will be. Meaning that they don't walk in and go, it's going to be haunted, so let's just, you know, start looking for these kinds of things and try to pick up this kind of information. They don't do that. They go in there most of the time thinking nothing is going to happen. There's probably a logical explanation for it. That's the best way to do it, because then you're not creating something. You're just experiencing it. They do, however, go through their protection rituals to make sure that if anything not kind comes into contact with them, that they're protected. So one of the things, I was a part of this little group while I was still up on the North Shore, and one of the things they do is they'll do a weekly experiment. And they did a couple when I was there. One of the ones that comes to mind was an object. It was psychometry. This was the exercise. So psychometry is the ability to be able to touch an object and actually feel, see, hear information about the person who owned it. Or sort of like missing persons cases. I think that's what a lot of psychics will do when they do that work. So it's a pin. They did this more than once. There was a pin that went around. And I was with one of my friends, and I thought, I suck at this. This doesn't work for me. I don't know why. It just doesn't. But maybe it doesn't work for me in the way that I like English better than math. You know, maybe it's not impossible, but I just tend to go the other direction. So I took it and I held it and I thought, it was like dead air. It was like a flat line. I'm like, yep, that's what I thought. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do it my way. So I held it. I opened up and I said, okay, you guys, tell me about the person who owned this. And they started to give me information. I didn't really get a chance to kind of be in my own space. The group was talking and going through other kinds of things while this was being passed around. I tend to like to need more quiet time. But one of the things that I picked up was that this was worn by somebody who may have had cancer. And the reason why the may have was in there is because I couldn't sense if the person who owned it was alive or not. Normally, I would think he would bring something from someone who wasn't alive anymore just to see if we could pick up on it, but he didn't. This ended up being a pin that belonged to his wife that she wore inside her sweater while she was going through breast cancer and chemo. I was super proud of myself for that. I was like, oh my God, that's what this person wore this when they had, I got that it was a woman. You know, you kind of have to get yourself to ask certain questions. It's not all just going to jump all over you and just be obvious. You got to have a little bit of a process, you know. I always tell people, even if you think you can't get this information, if you ask for the connection to your spirit guides and you ask for connection to spirit to be clear, trust that that's going to happen. And even if you're not advanced to the point where you feel like you're hearing words or you're getting signs or you have your own language that, you know, are signs and symbols that spirit uses with you, you can still generally get that feeling of yes or no, if something's true or false. Those two polar things are kind of gut feelings that most people will be able to get. So you can ask yes and no questions and wait to see what the answer is, you know, until you get used to opening up more and developing that vocabulary with spirit. So you can ask spirit, friend or family, see if you get a yes or a no. Okay, if it's family, okay, man or woman, see what happens. Man, think man, see what happens. Nothing? Okay, think woman. Oh yeah, there's something there, a different feeling. Okay, then it's a woman. Now from there, which side of the family is it? So you got to think, mother's side, and see what happens. Father's side, see what happens. If you go through this, it'll become so much more easy for you. I can't tell you. I don't know how to explain it. When I first started doing stuff, I just kind of was open. I didn't realize I was actually asking questions, but when I started to think too much, I actually started to block myself because then my expectation level of what I was going to get for an answer started to go to a different place. It wasn't just listening anymore. It's like when you talk to people in the physical world, you're not really listening to them. If while they're talking, you're trying to make it into something else or you're having your next thought already, like you have to be so present in that moment. That's another reason why clearing your space is important and conditioning your space is important, because if your space is clear and you have that conditioning going where you can tell the energy is higher in a specific area that you like to meditate in and stuff like that, it relaxes you and it's almost like it does its own kind of meditation on you. You don't actually have to work as hard. So like right now, for example, I'm in the spare bedroom. I got my music in the background. I got my little puppy dog, Sadie, who's asleep in her little bed until somebody comes up, comes upstairs and she starts barking, which you guys might hear. But this is a really comfortable place for me because I've conditioned it and I've set up my altar, which has all of my people, you know, my grandparents that have passed on, my animal totem symbols. I have, you know, a picture of an owl up there that I love owls. I have a little medicine bag. The different things that I consider sacred are all in this one spot. I'm also burning some frankincense oil, which heightens psychic awareness and your connection with spirit and your angels. So these things are super important. Oh, my mom's in the room. There she is. trying to think if there was another thing I wanted to mention. Oh, yes. So what's it like to be a medium or a medium for yourself? You don't have to be a medium for other people, but to have your connection when it does come time for someone to pass, what's that like? Well, that happened to me for the first time a couple of years ago. When I just came home from Texas, if you heard the previous show where I talked about my grandfather's passing, this was the point when he started to get real sick, was when I first came home. And I really had to pull on my spiritual side to get through what happened. Because if I was just in my physical self and my ego self, everything just would have gone amok and I would have just gone crazy. And on that show, I actually listened to it recently because I wanted to remember. Sometimes I forget the stuff that happens because it is that other part of my brain and I tend to kind of lose it if I don't write things down and stuff like that. So one of the things I talked about was, okay, my grandmother had passed away 30 years before. So, I'm used to connecting with her. And here, this was her husband, and he was not doing very well. So, of course, your first thought is, let's ask her and see what's happening. But to be truthful, they're not always going to tell you that. Part of what goes on in life here, psychic or not, is that you're here to have experiences. You can't prevent those experiences. Someone who's connected is going to have them regardless. And sometimes knowing about things ahead of time does not really help at all. So I kept noticing as soon as I moved back, maybe for the first couple of months he was okay. It wasn't great, but he was okay. He was still driving when he wasn't supposed to, but, whatever. I started to see a robin, and I started to realize, this was consistent. It would be a single robin, it would hop out, and I would just be drawn to the window to look out, even though I didn't hear a noise or have any reason to get up and look out the window. I just would get that feeling, look out the window, there'd be a robin there. I didn't really know what it was, because I was up in that neck of the woods. I was close to the cemetery where my grandmother's buried, and I had gone there. This was a place I go all the time. Not to be morbid or weird, but it's just quiet there. There's a lot of people, and none of them bother me. So I would sit there, and I would just kind of either talk to her out loud or talk in my mind. Sometimes I would just sit there and just try to be. I needed a place that no one was going to find me. I like my solitude, which is highly misunderstood by a lot of people in my family and my friends sometimes. But the funny thing is as I was walking to the stone this one day, a robin came bobbing out from behind the stone. And I was like, oh my God, that's what that is? That's you? So, you had to put two and two together. So this is another point that I want to illustrate is when you're living your life with this awareness, it's not an instantaneous understanding of everything right away. Some of it is just like anything else that you're growing with in your life. So because I remembered it, because it was happening so frequently, my grandmother's kind of pain, she doesn't let up on you. I was almost like, oh my God, so you're telling me that that's you. That's your sign. Okay, and I accepted that. Not too long after that, my grandfather started to really get bad. And a couple of months went by. I looked out the window, and instead of one robin, I saw two robins. And one of them had a nest, like twigs to build a nest in its mouth. And I knew, that was a sign. In my gut, I felt it, they're getting ready to take him now. She's getting ready to take him. So that was a really important thing for me to be able to be aware of, pay attention to. It's subtle. And I didn't have to tell anyone. It wasn't that kind of thing. This is the kind of knowing that's really just for you. Most of the time, it's just for you. So I knew something was coming. I'm like, oh, no. This is getting close. I made an attempt to get a time frame, which is something that I'm terrible at, too. I mean, I'm terrible at this stuff here. I don't know what day it is, what time it is. Why would I be good there? Right? with that side of the veil. So I made an attempt. They really didn't want to tell me when. I don't know why, but they told me a general time frame. Actually, I think what I heard was during the summer. Not when during the summer, just during the summer. And I let it stay with that. I was like, okay, I'm good with that. I at least can say to myself, I need to be a little bit tougher at this point because things are going to get rocky if I can. The day that he passed was 2 days after the solstice. It was 2 days after summer began. So that kind of floored me a little bit because I kind of put that little tidbit away. But it did happen. And I made it a point to tell one person. I said, look, I have trouble sometimes with my validation. And this is a crazy time for me. It's a hard time. I need to tell you this because if and when the time comes, I want someone to be able to say, I knew that I told you that and that I was thinking clearly and that this sign did come to me. Because otherwise, I could just walk around telling everyone this stuff. Hey, this happened. They don't know. I could be making it up, right? I always have that in my head. I don't know why, but this whole burden of proof. So I told her, and when it happened, I called her, and I said, you remember I told you what they told me? And she said, yeah. And I said, they were telling me the truth. So they didn't tell me at what point during the summer, they just said during the summer. The other thing is, when he passed, the day that he passed, I don't remember if I was doing a show that day. I think I was. I was home, and it was morning-ish, maybe like 10 or 11-ish. And my mother called. My grandfather had been in the hospital, and she said, you know, he's gone. And I was like, what do you mean he's gone? He's gone. And she said, yeah, and she said that my aunt had called her from the hospital. Now, I assumed she was calling me from the hospital. I didn't realize no one was there yet except for my aunt. So the first thing I thought was, I gotta do this. I got to grab the folder with all of his information. I got to grab the phone book so we can call people because people need to know. And I just, whatever I had, like funeral home information, everything, because the stuff was kind of, the hospice people helped us a lot. And God bless them, honestly, because you are not able to think clearly, logically, or even at all at a time like that. So I grabbed all that stuff. I put it all in a tote bag. And I thought, okay, I got to go down to the hospital. For a second, I was in the car. I looked over at the stuff in the car and I thought, oh my God, I'm an adult now. I never thought in my life that I would be in a position like that. You kind of always think of yourself as a kid, you know? So that was my first thought. And then I thought, wait a second. I should see if he's there, right? Okay, well, what do I... And, you know, when I get myself psyched out, I just have to play a game. I just have to say, let's see what happens and not put pressure on it. Because when it is for you and you're tied to that emotion, you want things to be good, it's hard. So I was like, okay, so I started to tune in. I don't recommend this while driving, by the way. But I started to tune in, and I felt like I could hear his voice in my head. He was saying names, like he was trying to call out. And he said, Cole, you can hear me? And I, out loud in the car, I remember yelling, yeah, I can hear you. And he said, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, he kind of made this grumpy comment. He said, you know, look at me. I look terrible. They didn't even put my teeth back in my mouth before I went. So, of course, now I'm laughing and crying at the same time because it's so him. And I thought, how funny. And then that was when I sensed that my grandmother was there. The funny thing is, you'd think I would sense her first because she was so strong with me, but he was first because he was calling out. But, you know, she was kind of trying to coax him because he was being the busybody he always was and wanting to be, hey, let me go back to that hospital and see what's going on over there. You know, he was trying to be a pain in the bum like he always was. But she's like, yeah, you come with me. Everything's going to get taken care of. Okay. I was good with that. So I continued my drive. I went to the hospital. And all of that was forgotten as soon as I walked in and I saw him. And I thought, here I am. I'm a medium and I'm standing in front of my grandfather who passed. Why is this not different for me? And it is in a sense, but it isn't. I had that same sense of grief. I had that same shock that he was just with me not too long ago. And then I was watching other people and I was, you know, I was in a really weird place. I was collected more than I thought I would be, but still upset. But enough to look around and kind of say, hey, look at what this person is doing. You know, this is a person who was yelling at him not too long ago, and now she's curled up next to him like she doesn't know what to do. And it's surreal. To see how people react when someone dies, you just don't know until it happens. You don't. So I did what I was supposed to. My mother asked me to call the funeral director. I did. I didn't know where the number was. I didn't know who they were. I figured it out. At a time like that when people need you, you figure it out. That's the Boston Italian, you know, Sicilian part of me that takes over, you know. It's in my blood. So I did that, and, you know, I after a couple of minutes, everyone had arrived at the hospital. My parents were there. My other aunt was there. My brothers came. My mom went out into the hallway to talk to the orderly. So I went out there with her because I wanted to find out too, like, what happened? Was he sleeping and what happened? So the orderly says, no, he was good this morning. Yesterday he was real fidgety and, you know, not hallucinating, but my grandfather was doing this thing where it looked like he was reaching out like something. Somebody was trying to pull him up. I'm not going to comment on that right now, but people probably were trying to pull him up. Not people here. He was fighting it. And it was just awful to watch him in this in-between state, and he just could not be calm. So they just kept medicating him over and over and over. And I was like, God, they're just drugging this poor guy. So the guy says to us, the orderly says to us, well, he was actually really good this morning. He wasn't agitated. I came in. I gave him some juice. He asked me for a straw. So I got and I gave him the straw. This is the part where you're going to be like, oh, my God. So my mother says, oh, well, I'm glad that he wasn't like that because he was really bad for the last couple of days. He says, no. He said, I went in, I gave him, I cleaned him up a little bit. I took out his teeth so that I could shave him. What? I didn't hear anything after that. That's when the conversation came back to my head that I had in the car. And I was like, oh, I said, wait a second, where are his teeth now? He says, they're in the bathroom in the jar. And I almost lost my mind because I got the most instantaneous confirmation I possibly could have got. That is such a short amount of time to have that connection and have the validation. I thought, and so I told my mother, I'm like, Mom, I don't know if you're going to believe me, but on the way here, I could hear Poopa. He was trying to, you know, talk. He was seeing if we could hear him. And he was complaining that he looked terrible because nobody put his teeth back in. And that guy just told us he took his teeth out not too long ago because he was going to shave him, so he looked nice. And I was like, oh, my God. So how can living this way change your life? Dramatically. Dramatically. Because you're not going to have those kind of moments if you're not open to them. You know, if you're just thinking, one day you're here, one day you're gone. If you think that signs are just a bunch of hooey and coincidence, people, there is no such thing as coincidence. Believe me, no such thing as coincidence. These things are happening in synchronicity with the perfect workings of a clock. Everything is where it's supposed to be in its perfect time and its perfect place, regardless as to how uncomfortable it might make you. It's all for you. And that is the biggest gift that you can have as a result of opening up to your intuition, to your guides, to your angels. Now, my grandmother is a special case because ever since I was little, as soon as she passed, you know, she was my best friend. My family did not tell me she was going to die. Let's put it that way. I didn't know that she was going to die, and she didn't think she was going to die. And because the connection I had with her was so close, I honestly think that's why I didn't think that, because something transpired between the two of us. It was more than words. It was not just spoken. And it was incredible to me that she was gone. She came and visited me. That was my first real spiritual experience. I was 8 years old. So she has been with me my whole life. Very, very close. The first time I had a reading with my mentor, Jackie, she commented on it. She said, you know, it's very strange because normally a grandparent or someone that's crossed over is not this close to someone, but she's made it a point to make herself your personal guardian on the other side. Seriously. That is huge. So, if for all the times that I talked myself out of things or said, no, Nicole, think about it this way, you can't jump to that conclusion right away. There it was. Somebody else who had no idea who I was at that time. No, you know, no investment to say one thing or another. That's what she said. So the relationship I have with my grandmother has been there and has continued. And it happens for all of us in one way or another. Specifically for me, this was a different thing just because of the closeness that we shared. And that's why it's so easy for her to get, she said this too. She said, that's why it's so easy for her to get inside your head. She said, it's so easy for her. And I thought, yeah, because we're both resonating to the same vibration. You know, it's like, you know, so close that I can't even tell the difference sometimes between what she's feeding me in my head and what I'm trying to think. Let's see. Oh, my friend Allison is in the room. She says, my mom was like that. It was like she saw the best movie ever on the ceiling, but no one else was in the room. That does happen towards the end. You know, people might think, oh, it's because they're getting close and they know something's going to happen. So they start to think they see these people. No, honey, they see these people. They're starting to transition long before you think. Your body just doesn't, even in trauma, like when someone's in an accident, your body just doesn't open up like the gates of, you know, heaven and blast you into the clouds. The transition mostly happens when you're not really thinking it's going to happen. In a lot of cases where people pass in trauma, they're gone before that trauma actually hits them. And they'll come and tell you, when they come through for readings, they'll tell you that. You know, I didn't feel anything. I saw it happen. They were taken before that. So, yes, my grandfather was hilarious because I think I mentioned this in another one too. I talk about him a lot because this is, like I said, the first experience I had where I really had my awareness and had these circumstances. I sat down in the room one day, in the hospital room, and he was asleep, and this was before he was going to have a procedure on his kidneys, that this was sort of like the beginning of his hospitalization. And I was sitting there, and I thought, you know what, it's quiet. Let me see. No one's around. Let me see if there's anything I can get. And I started to open up, and I am clairvoyant, so I was able to see all of these faces just start appearing all around the room, and like around his bed. And I was like, who are these people? I had no idea. I didn't recognize them. And so I asked, who are you people? And they said, we're his army buddies. And my first thought was, oh, crap, you know, it's starting. And they said, no, we're not here to take him right now. We're just here to help him so that he can move through this. Well, not too long after, and I didn't tell anyone that. I just kind of kept that to myself. You know, the second thought was, where the heck's my grandmother? She's usually a pretty big mouth, and I thought she'd be here first if something was really big was going to happen. I didn't know what happened. I just kind of let it go, and then all of a sudden I heard my aunts coming down the hallway with the doctor, and as soon as they came in the room, it was like my grandmother slammed into me. She was with them. She was trying to make sure things were going the right way, that the doctor was doing what he was supposed to, that they were asking the right questions. She was all over it. That's what was happening. And I thought, wow, so that's where she was. Okay. Hey, made total sense to me. Not too long after that, one of my aunts said, I got to tell you something. And I was like, okay. Normally when someone comes to me like that, it's going to be something weird that they think nobody else is going to accept. I'm really good like that. I don't judge you. You could tell me pretty much anything. She said, well, he told me he had a dream that he was at this, he was someplace, it was like a party, and all of his friends were there. All of his friends that had passed were there. And I was like, I looked at her and I said, auntie, that was not a dream. I said, they were here. I saw some of them. I didn't know who they were. Really important here. You would have thought most people's conclusions would be that the family members would be there. Oh, his mother came, his father came, his brother, who was close to, came. That's not who was there. That's not who I saw. And to have her later say that, he was at a party with his friends, total confirmation for me. I was getting accurate information. They were there. They were, auntie, they were there. They're just trying to help him. This is going to be a transition, and they're trying to help. So, it was like really incredible to me to have all of this, to be able to have these experiences and go through this at the same time. It completely changed my life. I don't know what would have happened, like I said, if I had just been in my ego self, you know, going to church once a week, not really listening. The kind of faith that I had growing up that never made sense to me. And I always felt so open and so close to the spirit realm that it made me feel bad that I would go to church and not be able to feel that. And like I mentioned on my last show, I'm very empathic. That's another way I pick up my information. I guess that would probably be like psychic, being psychic. If I'm in someone's energy field, I feel something. That's how I get my information. I don't quite get it the way a lot of other people do, where it's like, oh, they get actual facts. I don't know what it is, but I'm very emotional. I'm going to get your emotions. And I could feel they're wanting to be close to God, but never felt the actual experience that people were experiencing that closeness to God. So in all of my travels, you know, here I am living on the Cape now. I am 39 years old. I'm going to be 40 not too long from now. I am a minister in an earth religion-based church. I do work as an intuitive. I mean, who thought all of these things would ever come together? I didn't. I do Reiki. I can do spiritual healing on people. If you'd seen me as a kid, I don't know that you would have thought this is where I would be today. But here I am. And I mean, you know, it's never too late to be what you once thought you might be. I think that's a quote from E.E. Cummings or another famous author. I have a lot of quotes that I used to use when I was doing advertising for the bank I worked for. So they kind of come to my head, but I don't always remember who it was that said that. Yeah, I mean, this is work that all of you guys can do for yourselves. You know, you can sit and open up. And as long as you have good intentions and you're coming from that place within your heart that really wants to connect to God, that's not just randomly shooting arrows at nothing to see what you'll catch, you will connect to your highest and best. You don't really have to sit there and worry, you know, that the things that happen in horror movies are going to happen to you. You know, all you have to do is say, angels are non-denominational, so I do like to call on angels for people, especially if they're new or they're not acquainted with any kind of new age stuff. The angels will always be there with you. You have angels from the time that before you're born. I mean, you're with them, and then you're here, and they're around you, and they're always there to help you if you ask. You can't just expect them to step in. They really don't do that. They'll only step in if there's something really serious happening that's not supposed to happen, like you're about to be taken before your time. So call out to them. Ask for their protection. If you don't feel like you're connected, if you're really a beginner, just saying, angels, please surround me, protect me, and keep me safe from all harm. And close your eyes when you say it. At the beginning, you might feel silly if it's something you never did before. But as you do it more and more, you're going to start noticing that, you know, that initial weirdness that you feel because you're doing something strange or new goes away and you become more comfortable with it. When you get to that comfortable part, that's when you're going to be able to sense a change when you say those words and when you enter that space. So it really is a process. It's not like flipping a light switch. You know, sorry to disappoint you. Anyhow, I got like 6 minutes and 52 seconds. I have a lot of people in the chat room, but I didn't have a lot of callers tonight, which was great because sometimes they all call in just to listen and I pick up the phone and they don't want to talk. So that makes me happy. I don't like to interrupt people. But yeah, I mean, weaving your intuition and your connection to spirit into your everyday life is so valuable. It is a miracle to be able to do it in this day and age, surrounded by the technology and all the distractions, and it's just hard, you know. And if you're like me and you connect with nature and you feel more calm when you're around non-human living things, you know, like trees and birds and squirrels and even maybe a cat or a dog or a pet, allow yourself to have that time where you have non-human contact, you know, and it will help you a lot if you can just find that peaceful place, that thing that works for you. So the same thing doesn't work for everyone. I will mention one of the ways that helped me quite a bit in the very beginning was aromatherapy, because something about scent just very quickly changes your mood and your emotional state. I mean, you can smell something like beautiful, like a rose, which has a really high vibration, and get that feeling right away, providing you, you know, you like the smell of an actual rose. I'm not talking like, you know, Nana's perfume. But yeah, I mean, that feeling right away of being connected and how beautiful something is that was just picked from the ground, that was made by God, you know, that in and of itself can be a spiritual experience, just smelling that smell. Rose oil is super important. Like, it's super expensive. I would recommend getting flowers over the oil because you're going to go broke. It's like $300 to $500 for an ounce. Yeah. Frankincense, for me, rosewood is a very big one. I don't know what it is about rosewood. The combination of that lemony kind of overtone with the woody undertone, those, the blend of those two things that's contained in that, that plant's oil, something about that just brings me to a higher state, and I just feel really calm, relaxed, and connected. How did I figure that out? I had to go through a lot of oils. I can tell you right now, I had a collection of 30 or more oils, everything from basil and lemongrass to, you know, frankincense and jasmine, anything that I could get my hands on. I wanted to learn everything about it. I wanted to learn about the plants they came from and, you know, what the different things that they treated. You know, some of them are real good for depression. Bergamot, great oil if you're feeling depressed and you need to have your spirits lifted. I have aromatherapy pendants now because scent affects me so much that there are days when the only way that I know that I'm going to be grounded and not crazy at work is when I'm wearing my aromatherapy pendant with the right scent in there, the right oil. So I'm going to wrap up the show. I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening. And, you know, I hope that my experiences are relatable enough that you can kind of find ways that the things that I'm talking about can compare to the things you've gone through. Spirit has told me that I'm not to go out and tell people what to do. I'm to be an example. Because in the beginning, I was really unsure of what I was supposed to do with this. They said, being an example, it's the best way. So I share my stories. They're meant for me to share. That's why I have so many of them. It's not that I'm that special. I just have an awareness and I'm sharing that with people because a lot of people are awakening to this other side. And I want them to be able to feel comfortable with the experiences they're having, that they're not strange, and that there are other people out there who can relate and won't judge them. As a minister, my main thing is to reach out to people because we're all human at the end of the day. No matter what your race, religion, you know, hair color, skin color, social status, if you strip away all of those things that we try to, you know, put value on, all you're left with is a human being. And as human beings, we all share the same vulnerability, the same resilience, you know, the same longing to understand who we are, what we're doing here, and, you know, how to make our lives meaningful and purposeful. So please take that with you tonight and, you know, make sure that you're connecting. Keep that. So I just want to say thank you to everyone in the chat room again. My mom has been in there. She's always listening. I'm, you know, lucky that she's actually accepting of this kind of stuff because a lot of people, one that I met recently, don't have that luxury. And they're kind of in the closet. So just thanks to my mom for not thinking that I was weird and believing me when I told her when I was 8 that my grandmother came to visit me and that she was okay. And as always, walk in the light of spirit with one foot in each world. Namaste. Love and blessings to everyone. And please join me next week. I look forward to seeing all of you in the chat room and answering any of your questions.